Well, it's Saturday afternoon, January 30th. I guess this morning's report should have been a pre-breaking news. It took until about 1 o'clock Eastern for the media to catch up with the variant in the Baltimore area. A little bit more information came out of the press release issued by the governor's office. And as expected, this case was from Baltimore metro area. That was expected because the sample had been collected and sequenced by Johns Hopkins Hospital. And that would be most likely a local case. And the additional information is that this patient had no recent travel history. And so that is similar to the two cases in South Carolina. One was in the southern region of South Carolina, the other was in the northern region, and now this one's in the Baltimore area. And all appear to be community transmission with no recent travel and no known contacts. This sample was actually collected on January 21st, so it did get published fairly quickly, and it is the first published sequence of the African variant from the U.S. The detection of the third case in just a couple of days by labs that were not targeting this particular variant suggests it's probably quite widespread. And in the area, there's probably more of this variant than there is of the UK variant. The UK variant, about a third of the cases in the US were either from Florida or California, or more specifically San Diego County in Southern California. And they were largely done by Helix, which was specifically targeting the UK variant. And they were doing that with the S dropout method, where they were looking for a signal that was strong positive for ORF1AB, a strong positive for the N gene, and a negative for the S gene. It's also called SGTF, for S gene target failure. And the reason the target failed is because the primer was directed against the region of the S gene that is deleted in the variant. And so there's nothing for the primer to bind to, and it gives a negative result, even though there really is an S gene there. It's just not that particular sequence that's, that the primer's made against. Now, a similar test could be designed for the South African variant because it also has a deletion in the S gene. It's got three positions simultaneous. I think there are 241, 242, 243. So it might not be the exact numbers, but it's in that ballpark. Actually, I think it might begin with 240. But there are three consecutive, and a primer could be made for that region. And that would give the same type of results. It would, again, it could be paired with the other two. So it would get positives for the other two. And then again, the S gene result would be negative because the primer would be against a region that in the variant is not present. And I wouldn't be surprised if such an assay was developed, the academic labs can can develop those assays fairly quickly. Helix was fine-tuning it. They had there are a fair amount of viruses that you have the deletion at position 69 and 70 that aren't the variant. In many cases, that's the only change they have in the S gene other than D614G, which is the one associated with the Italian version, and the Italian version basically took over the world, so almost everything has that particular mutation at this time. The South African variant is concerning because it's got the change in the receptor binding domain that basically results in escapes from one of the two Regeneron monoclonal antibodies. It's in their cocktail. It's directed against the receptor binding domain. And when the E is changed to a K, or actually an A, I think was the examples I knew about early on. But anyway, the E is changed, then the monoclonal antibody doesn't bind well. And therefore, it even though it's a strong neutralizing antibody, when it does bind well, as in when the E is present at that position, it really doesn't work very well when the E has been changed to a K or an A. There's actually examples in the UK where it's also changed to a G. So it's been changed to three different letters, all of which are probably involved with the immunological escape. The one case that was in Boston, who was somewhat immunosuppressed, and he was sick for, he had recurrent COVID over, I think it started in early April and went until September. I think he had three or four different recurrences, and he was at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and they were collecting the samples, so they basically got sequencing of what was present from the beginning until he actually died. And he was a 45-year-old male, and you could see the different markers come and go, including the ones that E4A4. It initially was a K, and then he seemed to get around that, it looked like, and then that kind of disappeared, and then it came back as an A, and then shortly after that, he ended up dying. He also had the N501Y. He had a few other receptor binding domain changes. He had a series of mutations in the NTD or N-terminal domain, which is another immunodominant type of area in the spike gene. But the bottom line is that right now, this virus is somewhat resistant to the vaccine. The numbers are lower for the existing vaccines as far as what the efficacy is when the clinical trials were done in South Africa. It's also in South America and Brazil. There was similar results. And one of the things that led to this variant's identity and interest was people were coming down with a second infection. They had had COVID previously and had recovered, and then they had COVID again, and then they found the South African variant, which had this change at position 484, the spike protein. So the bottom line is that finding three examples of community spread on the East Coast of the U.S. from southern South Carolina to Baltimore is a cause for concern that this virus is probably very widespread. And if there was a targeted approach for the South African variant, as there was for the UK variant, the number of positives would probably explode, especially if we targeted cases that are in this general area. And my guess is not in South Carolina and in Maryland. I think it's in South Carolina to Maryland, and it's basically that whole East Coast region, and it probably extends north of, it probably is the whole East Coast period, and maybe more than that. So it'd be useful to expand the testing to find out exactly where this variant is, because it is going to create a problem for the vaccine. And if it's expanding as quickly as it appears to be, based upon three widely geographically spread out community spread, then it may end up being a bigger problem than the UK variant in the not too distant future.